Welcome back, radio friends. I'm speaking on pleasing God well in the privacy of our thoughts. Pleasing God well in the privacy of our thoughts. And we're going to read from Philippians chapter 4, a familiar passage, verse 8. There the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate or think on these things." Father, we've come again, we pray that the entrance of your word that usually gives light will give light to all my friends in Radio Land, in Jesus' name. Amen. We please God not only in our public lives, but also in our private lives. The two times God the Father testified of the Son from heaven, first was with regards to his private life, the second with regards to his public life. The first one was at his baptism, before ever Jesus did anything, any work publicly. The Father said, "You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased." His private life, he had not preached, he had not performed any miracle. Towards the end of his ministry on earth, at the Mount of Transfiguration, the Father showed up again and he said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him," or listen to him. God is interested in our lives that please him, not only publicly, but more especially privately. So I want to speak to us in this area of our private lives, and particularly the privacy of our thoughts. Many Christians are ignorant of the great impact thoughts make in the life of a Christian. By way of illustration, you know that what your hands cannot reach, your ears can. And what your hands and ears cannot reach, your eyes can. And what your hands, your ears, and your eyes cannot reach, your thoughts can. Thoughts do not know any limitations. They are messengers without borders. Embarrassment or shame and fear of punishment can restrict certain actions, but not thoughts. For thoughts defy detection from human standpoint. This is the reason sins of thought are most dangerous and deadly. Yet, this is the primary place God expects us to please him. The scriptures address the issue of our thoughts or content of our heart severally. Here are a few of them. In 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 6 and 7. 1 Samuel 16, verse 6. "So it was when they came, that he," that is the prophet of God, "he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before him." Verse 7. "But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Proverbs 4, 23. "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Proverbs 23, verse 7. Proverbs 23, 7. "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he." Mark chapter 7, verse 20. Mark 7, 20. "And he," Jesus said, "what comes out of a man, that defiles a man." Verse 21. "For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness." Verse 23. "All these evil things come from within and defile a man." One more scripture, Acts chapter 1, verse 24. Acts 1, 24. "And they prayed and said," that's when they were about to choose a replacement for Judas. "They prayed and said, you, O Lord, who know the hearts of all, show which of these two you have chosen." The God who knows the heart of all. Let us spend the rest of our time on the text we read, Philippians chapter 4 verse 8. For your information, Paul is not teaching the power of positive thinking in this text. You can make that application. Some people teach that we should deny reality or the truth in the name of thinking or talking positively, a teaching that is borrowed from Christian Science and the late Norman Vincent Peale. Instead, what Paul is teaching us here is that we should pay attention to the content of our thought life. The content of our thought life should be geared towards the great truths of God's Word. Do you want to please God well in the area where it matters the most? Your thoughts? Think or meditate on these things, Paul says. Number one, whatever things are true. God is the absolute standard for truth, that which corresponds to reality, that's truth. His unchanging word is the revelation of truth. Jesus says also that he is the truth. Those who know God through Christ must order their lives by the word of God, the truth, not feelings or whatever works. It is not everything that works that is biblical. Moses struck the rock twice against God's command, and it worked. That is in Numbers 20. Today, many Christians say, if it works, then that must be the truth. Not necessarily. Number two, whatever things are noble or honorable. This means something that inspires awe or reverence. This quality is demanded of the elders, deacons, indeed, all Christians. If you look at 1 Timothy 2, chapter 3, verse 4, verse 8, verse 11. The question we need to ask is your heart, is my heart so full of perpetual jokes that you never take life seriously? Whatever is noble, whatever is honorable, something that inspires awe or reverence. I know of a servant of God who behaves as though God had called him to be a clown. That's a place for clean jokes, but life is not a perpetual joke. Number three, whatever things are just or right. The Bible describes God and the Lord Jesus Christ as just or righteous, and we are called upon to be just or righteous. We must therefore exclude from our thoughts anything that is unjust, that is unrighteous, that is wicked. Number four, whatever things are pure. Our thoughts must center on moral purity. This means that we should guard our eyes because whatever enters through the eye gates filters into and settles in the chambers of our hearts or our thoughts. A servant of God once said, "What the ear lets in, the mind walks over, and our tongue gives out." The scourge of pornography today is a good reminder that we should guard our thoughts. Whatever things are pure. Number five, whatever things are lovely. This word means that which is pleasing or agreeable, that which is attractive. Nothing and nobody is as lovely or attractive as Jesus. Let us keep him on our minds all the time. Number six, whatever things are of good report or repute. This is a principle of love. In 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7, this principle of love that believes the best about a brother or a sister until proven otherwise. Refuse to think evil of anybody except you have been given a reason to do so. And even then, God is still in the business of changing people. Number seven, whatever is virtuous or excellent. Moral excellence is implied, a quality of God that Peter says should also be added to our faith in 2 Peter chapter 1 verses 3 and verse 5. We should always think of the moral excellence of Jesus, longing to be like him. And finally, whatever is praiseworthy. It implies what is praiseworthy in God and in people. This means that we shall fix our minds on the great and gracious things God has done and the gracious things he has done in people. A negative and critical spirit is not well-pleasing to God. Radio friend, if pleasing God is unattractive to you, try pleasing men. God wants us to please Him in our thoughts. So guard your thoughts. Whatever is contrary to these things we have discussed, as soon as they filter into your mind, into your thoughts, reject them. Throw them out. Thank you, Father, for your word today. Blessed be your name. May you, dear Lord, strengthen our thoughts. Help us to resist all thoughts that you will never admit. All thoughts that you will never sanction. In Jesus' name, amen.